Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, today is the final of our series on healing. And we talked when we talked about healing, we talked about the will of God. We talked about the importance of praying and fasting. And we've also talked together about the power of prayer. And today I thought it was appropriate Pardon me? Okay. All right. And today, the text that we read, how many of you have heard those texts before? The first one in the Old Testament where the people are complaining. How many of you have heard people complain? Yeah. And how did God react to their complaints? Bible says that he was angry. He brought these people out of Egypt. He brought them across the Red Sea, on dry ground. He brought them to his mountain. He created a covenant with them that he renewed the covenant that he made with Abram so long ago. And now they're complaining and they're looking back with rose-colored glasses. How many of you have ever seen people have rose-colored glasses? Yeah? And they look back and what do they see? Do they really get the whole picture of what the past was like? No. How many of us like the fact that our memories are kind of skewed that way? When we look back, we don't remember all of the stuff, right? We remember the good things. So it's interesting because it's at that time that Moses kind of says to God, you know, why did you do this to me? I don't want to be the leader anymore. I want to go take my stuff and go home. I don't want to be involved in this. I don't want to be on this team. I don't want to be in this group. I just want to take my toys and go home. I want to be my own person. And God says, no. I'm going to appoint 70 people to help you. And he appoints them and he invites them to the tent of meeting and he pours out his Holy Spirit upon them. And what the point of this text that I really wanted to touch on is that there's two that don't show up for the meeting. And they get the gift as well. And Joshua is saying, they didn't come to church, Moses. They didn't have to sit through the whole thing like we did. They didn't have to, you know, do all the stuff that we did, and yet they got the blessing. How is that fair? And what does Moses say? Yeah. Chill out, okay. Yeah, I guess. And what else? Are you jealous for me? I wish everyone had the Holy Spirit. Kind of a prophetic thing, right? It's going to take many, many, many years for that to happen. But isn't that what he wished for? He wished that everybody had the Holy Spirit. And I think it's important because in our individualistic age that we live in, we often forget that everything that in Christianity does apply to us as individuals, but it's meant to be lived out in community. It's meant to be lived out in the body. It's meant to be lived out in the church. And that's the reason why so many people today are struggling with their faith is because they think of it as an individualistic thing, right? How many of you think of faith as an individualistic thing? I mean, in a way it is, right? It is between us and God, but it has the two aspects. And especially in our society where we can access things so easily, where knowledge is no longer something you have to go to. When I started university, I remember that university was this place where you went to get knowledge. And you hoped that what you got taught would be good. Now I talk to university professors, and what do they tell me? They said, we try to take what we know and to pass it on, but there's so much knowledge out there on the internet and in Google that what we say often is not taken at face value, but is, people are getting information from everywhere. And it's very different times. And so it's very easy for us as individuals to think that we don't need that accountability of the family. We don't need each other. We think we can kind of do it on our own. And I think that that's why Christianity is so weak. The places where it's growing, they understand and they appreciate the whole need for community. They appreciate the need for the body. They appreciate the need for each other. They appreciate the fact that you can't do it on your own. Yet we in the United States say, we like to do things on our own. Right? Who's God in our society? Well, I'll give you a hint. Apple knows. Because everything they put out tells you who God is. iPhones. iPads. You know this. iPods. Who's God? I am. We live in a time where we are weak because we don't recognize the importance of the body. That's why people are so weak in their faith. In Hebrews 10, it says, we should not forsake the gathering together of the saints because whoever's writing Hebrews understands that there's power when we gather together. It's no mistake. It's no mistake that Jesus was telling them, let's just get to James 5. That in James 5 it says, if anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing praise. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And then it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for. How can you do that if you're alone? You can pray for yourself, yeah. Me, myself, and I, right? But how can you do that alone? Ecclesiastes 4 says, two is greater than one. But a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We use that for marriage verses, but it really is an expectation that God has that we're not going to do this alone. We're not designed to do this alone. That's why husbands and wives are so important, because we're not designed to do this alone. We're not designed to live life alone. I don't know if you know this, but God has a design right from the beginning. What did he say about Adam when he was alone in the garden? It is not good. It is not good. What did God say about everything else that he made? It is good. But he recognized that this relationship, even though he had a relationship with Adam, him being alone was not good. Now, okay, please don't get me wrong. I don't want to get any unasked emails. I'm not saying it cannot be done. And I'm not saying that living alone, but I'm just telling you, and this is not saying everybody has to be married, but I am telling you is that you need the body. I am telling you that it is very difficult to live life alone. It is very difficult. And there are people that are called to it, okay? There are people that God has chosen for whatever reason, has called them into this life, and that's fine. But I am telling you that if God has not called you to this, then this is a wonderful blessing. Now, when within the church, doesn't matter whether you're single, married, doesn't matter, God wants us to be a family, right? He wants us to walk life together. That's why this talks about this. You know, it says, pray for one another. Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. I want you to look at this one. It says, Matthew 18, it says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Now, who does not want to be in the presence of God? Yeah, you don't want to be in the presence of God? Oh, Kenji, I love you. He's always got an answer. But it's true. Who doesn't want to be in the presence of God? Who doesn't want to be together with other Christians? Who does not want to be together in the body? Who does not want to receive the promises that God has for us? And yet there are many today who say, I don't want it. I do this on my own. And I just feel so sad. This movie that Sandra Bullock, the movie gravity. It broke my heart when I watched this movie for this scene. Can we show that scene? Oh. Okay. In the movie Gravity, as Sandra Bullock is the actress there, and as she's dealing with the reality of her situation, she talks, she's listening to the radio, and she can't talk to them, but she can listen to them. And I want you to hear her words, because as a pastor, this broke my heart. Can we hear it now? Repeating what you heard on the radio. No one ever taught me how. She's alone. She's alone. Brothers and sisters, this is I think you should watch the whole movie to get the context, because it's kind of hard to get from a clip, but I couldn't stop thinking about that. Couldn't stop thinking about the fact that she was all alone. She had nobody. Nobody to mourn her. No one to pray for her. And then she said that those cutting words, and to a pastor, those were cutting words. I'd pray if I knew how. But no one taught me. You see, as long as we live in this world where we don't want to be part of the body, because there's being part of the body means accountability, it means relationship, it's hard work. But as long as we want to be lone rangers, this is the result. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. Brothers and sisters, the Lord desires, just as Moses prayed, that everyone receive his Holy Spirit. He desires that everyone be his child. He desires to have a relationship with everyone. He died for everyone. He doesn't want anyone to be in that place alone. They say, I have no one to mourn for me. I have no one to pray for me. I have no knowledge of how to pray. That's why you are so important. That's why you as the body, as you as the people, you as this community of faith, this family of faith, are so important. Because we are the ones to whom people who are sick should come and ask for prayer. We are the ones who should recognize what we have in Christ Jesus, that he wants to heal us. And certainly he can heal us when we pray as an individual, but he promises to work through his word and his sacraments as a means of grace so that we can experience him. His power, his presence, his promise, his healing, and the knowledge of our salvation, and the ability to communicate with him through prayer. I mean, all these things come to us as we are part of his family. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to cherish what we have, because it's interesting that forgiveness and healing here are together. And I can tell you, that you can go through life as I have many times and wake up in the morning and do what Luther said, make the sign of the cross, a reminder of you are in Christ and his love for you, and you can confess your sins and you can receive the forgiveness of sins, but there's something powerful when you receive it in the community. There's something powerful when you receive it in the body. There's something powerful when you receive it in the family. It's like prayer. We can pray alone, but when we agree on it, we have that promise from Matthew 18, when we agree on it, it'll be done for us. Isn't that awesome? Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we do that? I want to close today by telling you that one of the most amazing and profound things in my life has been when I've been at meetings where they really believe in the power of prayer and the importance of praying together in unity. And when you just know that the Lord is present there. And I wanted to close with a picture. This is a picture of Prayer Mountain in South Korea. And at any given time, there are usually over 100,000 people praying at Prayer Mountain in South Korea, in Seoul, just outside of Seoul, South Korea. And it's amazing to me because people have told me, I've never been there, people have told me that it's so amazing to go and to see how the Lord manifests in healing and in tremendous experiences of God in this place where people are simply praying. This is an interesting place because they have a big church in Seoul, one of the biggest in the world, and that's where they have the preaching and the praise and all this. This place is specifically for prayer. And one part of the building, again, this is my friend that have been there told me, that they actually, people are standing and doing the Hebrew way of praying, you know, with their hands up, facing God, and just praying out loud. And you got this amazing choir of people praising God, praying to God out loud. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them. Then you got this other part where people are silent, listening to God. And how it is amazing because they could do these things individually, but there's something amazing about God's presence in the midst of his people. When two or more are gathered in his name, I am there in the midst of them. That's his promise. And I just pray that every one of us, I pray I get an experience sometime to experience this, but I know that when we gather together, there's power in the prayers of the church. There's power in the prayers of the people of God. There's power when we pray together in unity and God does amazing things. Amen? So may we take advantage. May we recognize it. May we experience it. May we see it as extremely important to not try to just do this on our own. Not try to just be Lone Ranger Christians, but to see the importance of being the body of Christ and trusting in the promises that Christ has made to us. Because that's what James expected when he said, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, pray that you may be healed and forgiven and it'll be done for you. Because he wants us to see healing, forgiveness, new life among us. Amen.